unprecedented times.
A pandemic has reached all corners of the globe.
Racial tensions have escalated to new levels.
Natural disasters are growing in number and intensity.
Our world is shaking.
In times of uncertainty, one thing remains certain.
Our God, the King of Kings, is still on the throne.
His reign has no end and His plan is still good.
If we have ever needed an encounter with the hope of glory, it is now.
We invite you to ask.
We invite you to seek.
We invite you to knock on the doors of heaven.
Now is the time for you, for me, for all of us.
To experience.
To experience.
To experience.
To experience God.
Amen. And as that bumper sort of alludes to last week, we began a brand new study that we are calling Experience God, based off of Dr. Henry Blackaby's study, Experiencing God. And of course, that's been rewritten. It's been done for couples. There are now devotions out from it. This is not a necessary promotion that we are setting up to do an Experiencing God group. That is not the point. The point is the seven realities that Dr. Blackaby mentions in his study, I believe, are super important for us as we begin this brand new year. And so last week we began this look that God is always up to something. Amen? And so if you've got your sermon note page, I hope that you'll look at that, because today we want to look at the second reality that Dr. Blackaby brings to light, and that is that God is always pursuing you. And as I got to thinking about this, I thought back a couple of months ago, I was driving down Fairburn Road. I was on my way to a lunch meeting with some other people from the church. And so y'all will remember this story as I told it to you, because I was scared to death when I showed up. But I was on my way, and I was just, you know, north of I-20. And I became aware that there was a driver right on my back bumper. And some of y'all are like, yeah, I've been there. I know who he is. And he was just weaving back and forth and blowing his horn, engine roaring. I mean, obviously, the came to me, because I'm so smart, somebody's in a very big hurry. And, well, as we came around this little curve right there at Gable Sporting Goods, he decided that was the opportunity to past me and the truck that was to my left. And so he decided, all of a sudden, comes around me, hits the curb, and he's up weaving back and forth. In fact, he was in such a hurry that this gentleman was able to squeeze a 6-foot-wide car through a 5-foot-wide space between a retaining wall and a telephone pole. And I mean, hubcaps, mirrors, door handles. I mean, I saw him come flying off, but he didn't stop. I'm talking to myself, wow. And I'm thinking, what could possibly possess someone to drive like this in Douglas County, of all places? And then I heard the sirens. Not far behind the rest of us right there was a Georgia State Patrol officer giving great chase, blaring his horn, roaring his engine, also driving at breakneck speed, but at least he kept it on the street surface. And trust me, he had plenty of room, because yours truly had already begun an anxiety attack, and I had already drifted into that middle lane. Me and that truck driver beside me, we was just sitting there. So that was it. So that was the reason that this man puts his car through such punishment, leaving spare parts all behind him. So that was it. The long arm of the law was in hot pursuit. And that driver had only one thing in his mind: to escape. Reckless, foolish, dare I say useless, but he just wanted to run. And you want to ask, and I wish I could, but I never saw either of those cars again, probably because from that moment on, I was fairly close to my lunch meeting, and I didn't get over 15 miles an hour once I decided to get back out of that middle lane. But of this today, I am absolutely, reasonably sure the pursuit was successful. Given the condition of the car that was being chased, and knowing the Georgia State Patrol officer had surely called for backup, that guy pretty much, I know, got caught. That pursuit, listen, however long it was, I am sure finally ended successfully. And this morning I tell you that story to tell you this: there is another and equally intense pursuit going on right now. You and I are driving at breakneck speed on the highway called life. And we are aware that there is someone more powerful chasing us. Dare I say, pursuing us. And just like the man that I encountered that day, although running doesn't make any sense, we do it anyway, don't we? Just like the driver that I encountered that day, we, in a similar sense, are self-destructing as we run, but we do it just the same. And we know who's coming after us. We know who it is that's pursuing us, God, and He's right behind us. God is not going to let us go, but nonetheless, friends, we keep on running anyway, don't we? We just keep on running. And from the verses that Susan read at the beginning, we were looking at Jeremiah chapter 30. I won't reread that. I certainly appreciate her reading that, but we understand this morning that the prophet Jeremiah saw that same kind of pursuit. See, he knew that the people of Judah had chosen to go their own way. And they were paying a terrible price for all of that, shall we just call it, wandering, right? And there they were, off in exile, completely removed from the land of their forefathers, snatched out of their very homes, cast many of them away from their families, taken to strange lands as captives. They thought in their mind, you know, because they were all the way up in Babylon and they're not there in Jerusalem, I don't think God can reach us from here. They thought that they were beyond the grasp and hold of God Almighty. But the great prophet Jeremiah, he knew a different story. Jeremiah knew that God was able, my friends, and I understand, willing to pursue them and to bring them back home. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah hears God saying these words. He says, "I'm going to save you from far away, and your offspring from their land of the captivity." He says, "I'm going to save you from far away. I am pursuing you no matter where you are. I don't care how far away you think you are. I'm still after you." Now listen, friends, if somebody's chasing you, there are two things that you can do. Okay, I mean, we're just going to play this game. Either you can keep on running, hoping to put some distance between yourself and the pursuer, or you can go into hiding and hope that they're just not really good at finding. Right? Now, those are basically your two options. And can I just sort of go ahead and tell you my two points this morning? There are two basic responses that I believe most people have when it comes to God's pursuit on our lives. When God comes looking for us, either we just start running, or, you know, because we're trying to put some distance between ourselves and God, or we can try and hide from Him. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We can try to put on some camouflage and hope that He doesn't find us. But before we get into those points, I just want you to know this truth this morning. Whatever method it is that you choose, God is still pursuing a love relationship with you, with us, that's real. And it's personal, and I probably need to remind you, He's not going to give up. So let's look at this morning, because here is the response that I think the first choice that some people have when it comes to understanding God is pursuing is that some run from God. Now, that may not be you this morning, but I would dare say that there's some within an earshot of you that is the choice that they have made. Perhaps you're watching online this morning. You didn't want to walk into the church because this is you. You're running from God, hoping to put a little more distance between yourself and the great God of the universe. Some run deeper and deeper into the woods. They run from God and they pour themselves into some dissolute, faithless style life, indulging in all about themselves and what they want, all along ignoring God's commands from His Word, and literally just flying in the face of all that God has made us to be about. And this is the way that, quite honestly, most of the world runs from God. It is. Most people run from God by doing whatever they feel like doing. Now, do you see the way I encapsulated that statement? It's not the fact that I ought to be able to do whatever I want to do. No, when we choose to do whatever we want to do, knowing there is a great Creator God, we are running from Him. We break God's commands, we ignore God's will, but that's how we run. Murder, theft, adultery, lying, cheating. You say, but Pastor, so what else is new? I agree. This is not exactly news, is it? This has been around a very, very long time. And there is a very precise term by which this running and doing things that I want for myself against what God says, there's a specific word that it's called. There is a word that we use for this kind of behavior, and the Bible uses this word, and it's called sin. And maybe I just need to define it for you this morning so that there's no discrepancy in what I'm talking about. Sin is anything, do you hear me, people? Anything that separates us from God. And I want to make sure that you catch the word anything, because sometimes we want to think it's only a bad thing. Sin is anything that separates us from God. And sin is that thing deep down in every human heart that rises up, my friend, rebels against God, really just runs away from Him. See, sin is separation from our Creator. Sin is violating the laws of God and just choosing to run away from Him. I say again this morning, this is old news. This isn't anything brand new. But what is so devastating about sin is that it just reinforces itself. Some of you have walked around this planet and been around the sun enough times that you understand that. Sin just gets itself deeper and deeper in the hole. It gets worse and worse the longer that you go there. See, if you just start the habit of using profane language, and before long, you can't control your tongue. The venom just spews out all the time. If you just start the practice of drinking alcohol and abusing alcohol, before you know it, alcoholism takes you over. Just start with, I don't really want to hurt their feelings, so I'm just going not tell them the truth. You know what that's called, right? That's called a lie. So you decide, I'm going to tell a lie. And pretty soon, you have to create issues of untruth just to kind of start covering yourself up. Because there's no way out. What am I saying? Sin just goes deeper and deeper. Sin gets you more and more into its grasp and its grip. And you get more and more hardened at your heart, more and more separated all along from God who loves you. Well, we can run harder and harder, and we can wear ourselves out running away. But I just wondered this morning, did you know that the more we run from God, somebody here needs to hear it, the more He pursues us. You say, well, if I run harder and faster, then if I outrun the other people in the church, then He won't catch me. You forgot that He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time, everywhere. So the more you run, the more he pursues after you. The more we fight against God, the more he comes after us in love. Did you know that? Did you know that the more we've spit in the very face of God, the more he reaches out trying to claim us and calm us? See, when God chastises us, when he disciplines us, it's because he loves us. I want you to listen to again what Susan said about Jeremiah's account of God's ways. In verse 12, as she read, it said, "This is what the Lord said, your injury is incurable. It's a terrible wound. There's no one to help you or to bind up your injury. There's no medicine that can heal you. Why do you protest your punishment? This wound has no cure. I have had to punish you because your sins are many and your guilt is great." Friends, I want you to mark it down. Make a note, write it out clearly. When you see a person who appears to be hell-bent on destroying his or her life, then you are also absolutely seeing a person whom God is avidly pursuing. And God's not going to give up. God's not going to ever stop caring. So, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was buying a very overpriced coffee at a store not too far from here. I won't go into much more detail because First Lady's sitting right there. And as I bought this very overpriced coffee not too far from here, I sat down at the table and I had my Bible with me. I was just going to kind of read a few verses, trying to get my mind wrapped around some stuff. And as I sat down, there was a gentleman behind me. He walks up over to me and he says, "Are you a pastor?" I mean, the Bible might have been a giveaway. I don't know. I don't usually have it. I usually got the iPad and I'm looking up on that. So he just kind of got lucky, I guess. He just stood there at the table. He said, "I don't mean to bother you, but I want to ask you a question." And I'm like, "Okay, here we go." He said, "Why does a man drink when he knows it will destroy him?" I said, "Excuse me?" I'm thinking he's talking about my coffee. I said, "You're talking about coffee?" He said, No. He says, "No, I'm talking about me." He says, "I have cirrhosis of the liver, and I may not live all that long, but I still want to drink alcohol. Why am I doing that?" And I'm like, I know you want to. What'd you tell him? Basically, what I said is that people use alcohol as a way to fill up their emptiness inside. And that's true. I said that, you know, what you're really after, sir, is fellowship with God who loves you. And until you find that fellowship with God, your body's going to keep crying out for the very thing that would ultimately destroy you. So I'm like, pray for me about this gentleman. But can we begin to see? Can we begin to see these things? God is pursuing, my friends, a love relationship that is real and is personal, and God does not give up. Well, you say, "Well, Kevin, how do I know this? How can I possibly even remotely say this?" Because God, as we were just singing a moment ago, came to this earth looking for a lost and broken humanity. Our God, my friends, came in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, living where we live, feeling what we feel. Our God went so far as to climb on a hill, on a cross, high on that lonely hill, outside of the city walls, and to give his very life's blood for those who were running and running and running away from him. That's how much God pursues us. Our God pursues every person who has ever been running away from him. But not only is the first choice of many people to run from God, remember, there's another way. I mentioned it at the beginning, that we try to escape. In addition to, or sometimes replacing that running, we need to understand choice number two that many will choose. And that is, not only will some run from God, some hide from God. Some hide from him. So some people Now, some of y'all are going to want to say, well, he's not talking about me, but I need you to make sure you're paying attention for a minute, because God didn't tell me to come and just speak to the lost this morning. God said, there's some saints up in there, Kevin, that need to hear what I got to say. And I'm like, okay, well, I hope we're all listening. Because some of us, church, hide in our goodness. Some of us use our goodness as a way to keep clear of God. You're like, that doesn't make sense. But I want you to know this. Know this, that our God pursues not only those who run from Him, He also pursues those who hide from Him. And maybe you need to hear me say it again. God does not give up. Do you know that some of us try to avoid God by being as good as we can? Some of us are trying to earn our salvation by being good. Some of us think that if we're just good people, if we're just good citizens, if we're just decent folks, if we just stay out of trouble, if we keep on the right side of the law, then Kevin, we're going to be okay. That God will just have to take us into heaven because we're such nice people. If that's your thought process this morning, I need you to hear me say, some of us are not so much running from God as that we are trying to hide from Him. And by that I'm saying we are camouflaging ourselves in our own goodness. I gotta say a word this morning to those who are church people right here in Lithia Springs, because you've always been church people. You say, well, I'm church folk because I've always been church. I know, and that's what decent people do. But I got to say a word to those who have just hung around religion all your life. Can I just tell you, we all got a dirty little secret. And that is that we've never let God get really close to us. See, we've never permitted God to penetrate through that thicket, that big old concrete block of our defenses, and get up close and personal with us. We are hiding from God. We're hiding behind these walls of respectability and conventional goodness. I dare say, my friends, that we are even hiding in church. Oh, I managed it for quite a few years myself. I got very good at this game. You see, as I've shared many times, I was brought up in church from way, way long time ago. From my earliest days, I went to Sunday school and worship. I came back at night for training union and then went to evening service. Some of y'all know I'm serious now. Look, I went and ate dinner in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights at Elam Baptist. I did youth choir rehearsals on Saturday mornings. Look, I did it all. And whenever the church doors were open, I was already there. Half the time, I was unlocking them. I mean, as a kid, I was there. In fact, I was so insufferably good as a kid. I mean, I was so good, I was repulsive. I mean, I was so good, most people couldn't stand to be around me. I was so good. And I remember a specific Friday night, my parents and my younger sister decided, hey, we wanted to play this little game. I was about 10 or 11. It was some card game. There were chips involved. It wasn't gambling. But they were gonna play for a little bit of pretend money. It was just a game, that's all, right? But they needed a fourth person to play. Couldn't play with just three people. They needed me. So I put on my self-righteous little high horse and announced, well, I don't know if you guys are aware, but that's not what Jesus wants me to do. I was certainly not going to put my hands on those forbidden cards and poker chips, right? I was all about Jesus and the church, even if they were not. But you know something? I had a dirty little secret myself. I was putting on a good front. But I was not in fellowship with God. Listen, I wasn't praying. I was just depending on looking good. I didn't read God's word and ask, what did it have to say to my life? I just depended on my good camouflage. I wasn't being a witness in a positive way to other people at my school. I was just hiding in the church and thought I had them all fooled. Oh, but there was one I didn't have fooled. And he pursued me. He chased me. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he finally caught me. He found me. But when he did, it was all love. It was love. Do you know, friends, that you can keep all the rules and still be out of fellowship with God? Do you know that? Do you know, my friends, that you can be on the roll? Oh, you better hear this. You can be on the rolls of the church, sitting in the, and dare we say in First Baptist Lithia Springs, sitting in the pews. Some of y'all online, we still got pews. And you can still be hiding from God. Are you aware this morning that we can put on the mask of looking good and we can pose as all pious and prosper and still be out of touch with the heart of the Most High God? We can. Or we try to avoid that intense, personal, real, face-to-face encounter with the living God. And that's called hiding. That's hiding. That's camouflage. You see, my friends, hear me this morning, and I mean this in the most sincere way possible. If we don't pray, we are not in touch with God. If we're just putting on a mask, oh, I'll pray for you. And you know you're not going to. Stop lying to them. Well, if I were serious about this relationship, I'd pray for you. But you on your own. Just tell them. Stop hiding. You ain't fooling anybody. Or you are. But you're not fooling God, and He's the only one that matters. If we're not studying His word, we're not putting ourselves on His path. We're just holding Him at arm's length. Oh, and hear me most of all, church. I hope you can hear me. If we're not putting ourselves on the line in some kind of active ministry for His kingdom, if we're not willing to risk ourselves on the front lines of what God is trying to do, then I suggest that we're just trying to look good rather than actually be good. And that's camouflage. It's just blowing smoke. But I've got good news this morning, folks. I do. I've got good news. God is pursuing us too. God is pursuing not only those blatantly sinful and rebellious folks, God is also pursuing those with some hidden and secret faults. He is. God pursues a love relationship. That's the reality that we need to get this morning. Even those who would hide from Him under some cloak of respectability. God does not want mere names on the First Baptist Lithia Springs church rolls. God wants daily fellowship with His children. That's what He pursues. And I'm just here to remind you yet again, He does not give up. Which brings me to my third point this morning, and I hope that you can get this. There is a solution for the running and the hiding, and that is that we need to quit running and time to come out of hiding. Now, I don't know where this is going to find most of us, but nonetheless, this is the truth that God wanted me to declare this morning. You see, it's time to quit running and running from God, and it's time to set aside all of the camouflage. Listen, I'm just telling you, we don't have to run anymore. He is going to pursue us. Wouldn't it just be easier? Wouldn't it be so much more satisfying just to let Him catch us? Because we can't hide any longer. Just maintaining self-control is not going to get us anywhere. Man, I just got to stay cool so they think I'm one of them. Oh, I know, she drives me too, darling. She drives me nuts. Can you believe she said that stuff in Sunday school? She's just running off at the mouth. I just sat there and bit my tongue, tasted blood all 20 minutes. But I was so good and godly, I didn't say a word. How stupid she is, bless her heart. Y'all, we in the South, we know what that means. Some of y'all from up North need to find somebody who's smiling right now and say, what does that mean? They'll tell you. Tell him in the parking lot. Don't tell him right now. Look, he's going to find us wherever we go. Wouldn't it just be easier, much more satisfying just to say, hey, here I am? Open up to his love. I want you to listen to the promise that comes all the way over in the next chapter, in Jeremiah 31, if you've got your Bibles flipped there, verses 1, 2, and 3. I just want to give this to you because this is the promise that we get. Now, you hear all of what God's going to do in chapter 30, but he's chasing, and he's still going to bring some judgment. He's going to bring some discipline. But I want you to hear what he says at the beginning of chapter 31. He says, in that day, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. Verse 2, he says, look, those who survive the coming destruction. He didn't say it's not going to come. Y'all caught that, right? Oh, it's still coming. But those who survive the coming destruction will find blessings even in the barren land. For I'm going to give rest to the people of Israel. He said, long ago. Oh, y'all remember, grandmama, granddaddy, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. I have loved you with an everlasting love, God says. Stop running. Stop hiding. I have drawn you to myself. You are where you are because I am going to not give up on you. He's going to keep on pursuing us. That's the truth of the day. So what's the takeaway? You know, when my kids were small, and I mean like much smaller, we used to play a little chase game. Some of them, they might remember this. But I remember we'd be in the backyard, and I'd catch me, Daddy, catch me. And they'd go to running, right? And they'd run all around the yard. Now, of course, it was pretend chase. And all the daddies, y'all know, it was pretend chase because it little bitty Riley, little bitty legs, he ain't getting that far, you know, before I could just reach out. I mean, I got a bigger stride, I can run faster than him. At that time, we're not playing this yesterday. This is like 19 years ago. Little bitty Riley, little bitty Cameron. I could reach out, I could touch him, but they're like, catch me, Daddy, catch me. And they'd run all around the yard because, and it was pretend chase. It was pretend. But the game was that I'd keep them going for a little bit, like, Oh, you're so fast. Oh, look at you run, right? And about the time that I see that, you know, they're starting to get a little tired, what do? I reach out and I catch them. And then I'd roll around in the grass with them and tickle them, and they'd be squealing, and we'd all be laughing. Because here's what I want you to see, friends. I knew, and I know they knew, that what they really wanted was to get caught. Because at the end of the game, they got caught and they got picked up into their daddy's arms. And it was a lovely, tender moment. It was a game. I knew it. They knew it. But the point of the game was at the end of the chase to be in daddy's arms. Friends, listen, we're running from God. We're hiding from God. And it's a game. We know that we are liable to get caught by him at any time. Look, our legs are just too stubbly to run from him. But God's not going to overpower us. He's just going to keep a step or two behind us. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, so I've continued in my faithfulness towards you. Leela Morris, born Pennsylvania, Ohio in 1862, she and her husband Charles, active in the Methodist Episcopal Church, they went to the camp meetings. Y'all remember those days, right? She wrote hymns as she would go about her house chores at home. Although she became blind at the age of 52, she continued to write hymns. And the way she did it was her family created for her a 28, almost 30-foot long blackboard at their home. They built it for her because she could see, but she would write it in really big letters. She is said to have written over 1,000 pieces of text and lots of tunes. One of them, many of us know, Sweeter as the Years Go By. There's another hymn of Leela Morris speaks of what I'm trying to say today. And that hymn says, if you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. And the refrain, the chorus says, just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. So look, friends, why don't we just call a halt to the game? Well, because God's pursuing each and every one of us for a love relationship with each and every one of us. He wants it to be real. He wants to embrace us. So why in the world, friends, should we just continue to tear ourselves up and exhaust ourselves so? Why not just give up? Why not? Why not just let go and get caught in His love today? Why not? Why not? Because right now, every head bowed, every eyes closed. Right now, I'm just going to ask the praise team, come up here, get ready. This is the portion in our service where it's God's invitation, but it's also our time of commitment. And I believe that God is challenging some things in some hearts this morning. Somebody in here this morning, you've recognized, you know what, I've been running. And I've been running for a while. And God says, look, just stop running. Stop running. I'm right here. There's some right here this morning. You know who you are. Maybe you're online this morning. That's why you're online. It's because you're hiding. Hiding in your goodness. Well, if we're just good people, can I just tell you this morning? Let me debunk the myth. Good people do not go to heaven. Quote me on it because I'm quoting the scripture. Good people do not go to heaven. You say, well, then who does? God's people. Oh, well, don't miss this. And the only way you're one of His kids is if you've trusted in His one and only Son to be your Lord and your Savior. If there has never been a time in your life when you said, you know what, I keep doing this my way. I'm doing it in my strength. I'm doing it in my understanding. I'm doing it my way, like Frank Sinatra used to say. Listen to me. Then you haven't trusted in Jesus. But if there's been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I believe that you are God's one and only Son. I believe that you have taken away all of my sin if I'll just trust in you and what you paid on Calvary. I believe that I no longer have to live on my own because you're with me. And I believe, Jesus, because you've gone back to heaven, that I have a place in eternity with you as my life continues to exhibit that I trust you. Friends, if that's where you are, then you're one of His. But if you haven't made that statement today, you're just hiding in goodness. Good people go to hell every day. So stop it. Just stop. Stop running and stop hiding. And just go ahead and get caught in His love today. Get caught up in His love today. Because He loves you with an everlasting love. There's nothing you can ever do to make Him stop loving you. But you've got to respond to that love, friend. It's not enough to just say, well, I know He loves me, and one day. Listen to me. Let me just be honest with you. I hear from the Word of God today that one day is today. Today is the day of salvation for someone. So I pray that you make that decision today. You say, well, Kev, I'm not sure I know how to do that. In a moment, we're going to start singing. But look, you can pray where you are. You can come find somebody in this room that you trust. You can come right up here to these steps. You can use the back of that Connect card and say, Kevin, I need to know more about this salvation thing. I'm praying today, but I want to make sure that I continue in the right steps. Well, listen, that's what we're here for. That is what we are here for. But it's as simple as, look, you just need to admit that you've been doing it your way for a long time. And it ain't working out. And you need to believe that Jesus really is who He says He is. And you need to commit the rest of your life to Him. A, B, C. I'm not trying to oversimplify it. God says don't make it complicated. Make it simple so my people can know how much I love them. And they trust in me. And then begin to live that life in step with me. Friends, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you are saved, but you're not stepping it out and living it out. And witnessing it to others. And God's like, look, it's not a story that you need to be ashamed of. I'm telling you, friends, saints, the day is coming. You hadn't seen persecution yet. The day is coming. As a matter of fact, God says there will be those on that day who will not claim my name. And the most embarrassing verse is, there will be many on that day who claim to say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And I say, get out of my face. I don't know you. Listen, there's another scripture that says, if you are ashamed of me in front of men, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. You do not want that to be you. Don't let that be you. I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you, but I am trying to show you heaven is sweet and Jesus is the Savior. And God says, won't you just let me catch you? Let me wrap you up in my loving arms today. Let's be God's kids. Let's be God's kids. And then because of that, we can shine His light into this world. Father, we thank You today for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your love. Father, we thank You for the reality that You are always up to something. And God, today, that You are avidly pursuing us. Every single one of us, You've got a little step further You want us to go. As You illuminate that step right here, right now, Father, would we in our hearts, in our minds, in all of the convictions within us, commit ourselves to that next step, whatever that is. God, that You would be pleased. God, that You would be glorified and that Your kingdom would be made greater today. Father, You save souls. We believe You're still in that business. God, You call saints to work in Your ministry. We believe You still do it. God, do it today. We've seen it in years gone past. God, do it today. Do it again today.